This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about hunting and fishing and all things related, and wildlife and crabbing and conservation and whatever you want to talk about. We even talk about Second Amendment sometimes. So our producer, Chris Klaproth, is here. He's well-fed and wired this morning. Are you not, Chris?
That is an understatement.
An understatement. Dave Levy came through with his promise.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, a dozen donuts from Bay Country. And I think there's four left back there. I had one.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They're that good.
They are good. No
they
question.
Melt in your mouth.
It's wonderful.
Phenomenal.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So when I say, Dave and Gina Levy, trained chefs, strive to bring you the best. What do you think?
That, too, is an understatement.
Yeah.
They don't strive. They do.
They do.
They literally deliver.
Yeah, they deliver. They overwhelm you with flavors and goodness. And so, yeah, thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. So, and Chuck called in or texted in and reminded us that it is indeed a holiday today for people in the plant crowd. I don't want to see what Alan Summers looks like when he comes in. Just saying.
No, I agree.
I don't want to see that. It is indeed World Naked Gardening Day. We'll get into that a little bit more. Or not. Our phone number here is 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number if you'd like to call. We'd love to hear from you and talk about anything at all. So, here comes a press release. Maryland Department of Natural Resources, right in the middle of the striped bass trophy season. Started, when did it start? The 20th or something like that? Following deliberations by the Atlantic States Marines Fisheries Commission. Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. ASMFC. Sounds like a cigarette commercial from the 60s, doesn't it? Remember LSMFT? Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this is the ASMFC. On the status of the striped bass population along the Atlantic coast, the Maryland Department of Natural Resources continued its ongoing leadership in striped bass conservation efforts. At this week's ASMFC meeting, Maryland again addressed the most pressing problem facing the Chesapeake Bay's striped bass population, rockfish population, the significant volume of dead discards in the recreational fishery, where many striped bass are caught and released but do not survive when they are returned to the water. Maryland emphasized that the most recent science and data shows that any measures that do not address this problem directly will not result in conservation. In 2015, Atlantic States Marines Fisheries Commission increased the minimum size for keeper fish, a well-meaning attempt to protect striped bass population that instead was counterproductive, leading to increased mortality. Every fish that is hooked, removed from the water, and handled is at risk of dying when placed back in the water. Following the size change, the number of dead discards have actually increased as anglers catch and release fish to find keepers, thus increasing the number of fish that were handled. Following along, striped bass anglers. In 2018, Governor Hogan and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources raised concerns about this problem with Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. This resulted in the adoption of a decreased minimum size from 20 to 19 inches. In addition, Maryland took unilateral action of, to require the use of circle hooks when chumming and live lining, the methods by which most recreational anglers catch striped bass. Circle hooks are an effective conservation measure because they significantly reduce gut hooking that leads to discard mortality. The department also launched and is continuing to expand an educational outreach program. What have you heard about that? I've seen a couple business cards and maybe a poster at your local fishing tackle shop, but that's about it, to assure compliance with these regulations. Maryland is hopeful that all other East Coast states will join with us to address this important conservation issue. In the meantime, the department is encouraging all anglers to do their part by implementing conservation measures, including handling fish more carefully and lessening the number of fish they catch and later release. Advice and tips can be found on the department's website. Maryland will continue to make conservation decisions based on the best available science for the long-term future of striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay. Staff will continue to work with stakeholders on practical solutions to preserve, protect, and restore our striped bass populations. Before I comment, I'd like to hear your comments. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Based on what I just read, that it's the Atlantic States Marines Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's decision to have the 20-inch keeper size, and in 2018 that was reduced to 19 inches at the behest of our governor, and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources then reduced that 20-inch limit to 19 inches, and still we have dead discards. I would like to hear your comments on dead discards and what you see when you're out there on the bay. 410-922-6680. If this is such a grave concern, is it a grave concern to the anglers in our listening audience? First, you're hearing about it. Haven't seen it out there? Talk to me. 410-922-6680. Lines are open. Chris is standing by. While we're waiting, I'm going to pour a warm-up on my coffee. Got my little thermos right here. One call and then gone. Call and gone. 410-922-6680. Do you know the record number of calls for this radio show?
No, I do not.
126 in 2 hours.
Whoa. How long ago was that?
Back when they were considering lifting the rockfish moratorium.
Okay.
It was a simple question, yes or no. Okay?
Okay.
And people were calling in, yes, no, and the answer was, should the season remain closed for the moratorium, or should it be considered to be open? And it was overwhelmingly keep the season closed. Back in that day. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was, you know,
I want to say that was what, the
85.
I was going to say mid
85. So yeah, that would have been 91 or 92 when we did that. That's the record, 126 calls. And what's the record today? Ring and hang up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do we have any commercial anglers out there that would like to comment on this? I'd love to hear from a waterman on this deal. 410-922-6680. My guess, and I will comment because you got to keep the show going. You know, we turn it over to the callers and they...
That's right. It's called Two-Way Talk for a reason.
Yeah, Two-Way Talk. Yeah. You call in, talk about it, express your opinion. You're anonymous. We don't know who you are, right?
That's right. You don't have to use your real name.
Nope. You don't have to use your real name. And I found out something, that some people actually don't use their real name when they call talk radio.
I believe that, just like there are some people on the air who don't use their real name.
That's true. That's true. I used to call in as Dave from Glen Burnie.
Wow. How long ago was that?
No, I haven't called Talk Radio in 100 years.
You do it.
Well, I used to listen to Talk Radio a lot.
Sure.
You know?
The most progressive format there is. Always changing.
Always changing.
Always
exactly
changing.
Right. No question.
It's not like music where it's researched over and over and over again.
That's true. That's true. But, since it is topical and since this is the Outdoorsman radio show, the only one of its kind in Maryland, the only show that addresses on a regular basis, weekly basis, the issues facing sportsmen and women here in Maryland, fishermen, you know, anglers, hunters, conservationists, crabbers. You know, we would think that it would attract an audience somewhat populated by striped bass anglers.
Mm-hmm. Or just general information about the outdoors, period.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm just getting back into it, and you have been a wealth of information, and people out there listening, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, pick Alan's brain. A man's got a lot of experience.
Had a new one this week.
Which was?
For many years, even when I was young, I mean very young, and hunting in Pennsylvania, pursuing the wild turkey. Now, I am not a diehard spring gobbler hunter or fall turkey hunter. Either one. It was more or less something to do when I was a kid, you know. And I ran into a flock of turkeys one time, and I saw them, and I couldn't get a shot. And this was, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and you're hunting with a .22 in the fall season, you know, something like that. Now, in Maryland, I've been hunting turkeys for a long time. I started out, my first turkey hunt was in Garrett County with a buddy. And I've hunted in Cecil County on my own. I've hunted in Washington County with a listener, Frank, a couple of times going up to the Woodmont area. Garrett, Washington, where else did I hunt? I hunted, maybe that's Allegheny. I don't know. But
It's Washington, Allegheny.
I think it was Allegheny. I'm not sure. Anyway, I hunted Washington County near where I was this week with a buddy. I've hunted Cecil on my own. Kent once with, you know, a person who would, and we heard gobbler, just couldn't get him to commit. Queen Anne's a couple times. Again, saw, heard birds. Baltimore County a couple times. Anne Arundel County a couple times. Just never able to seal the deal. Through all that, one fella has remained constant as far as inviting me to go turkey hunting. And it used to be another guy, but he passed away. We never did get together. But he called, you know, he told Robin at the coalition dinner, he said, make him come up and hunt with me. And his name's Bobby Dutrow. He's harvested 59 longbeard gobblers and innumerable jakes and been with, you know, dozens of other people when they've taken their turkeys and so forth. And Bobby and I have been threatening to get together for the last, 15 years or more. Probably known each other 20 or more. And so I made the trip to Washington County last Tuesday and stayed overnight with Bobby and Janet. Had a wonderful breakfast in the morning. She made an oatmeal blueberry kind of casserole thing. Maple syrup.
Watch those calories.
Oh, it was good. It was good. It was really good. And we did go out and went to a little honey hole. Not very many acres. But Bobby had a ground blind build. It's just basically a stack of sticks. You know, didn't that, it wasn't a nylon ground blind that he set up. You know, he just kind of a hide, if you want to call it that.
I was about to say, the pictures you showed me, it looked more a little bit like a lean-to kind
of thing. Yeah, kind of like a hide, basically. And he sat behind a tree, and he called, and I watched, and, you know, and he watched. And it was around 6:10 or so. He said, there's a bird, there's a gobbler. Or no, he said, there's a bird right there. And there's Oak Flat, or right on top this little hill where we were watching, and the bird had come out there briefly and went one direction or another. You know, this is rolling terrain. And he said he might come out to our left, he might go down to the right and come up through the hollow. We had a set of decoys out. We had two hen decoys. One was a breeding hen, which meant that she was ready to be bred in that position, mm-hmm. a plastic decoy. And then the other one was a jake with a half strut jake, which meant that the jake was going to breed the hen, and that was going to entice the big gobbler to get jealous and come over to get a fight and throttle the young turkey. You know, it was a jealousy thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, sex and,
as the world turns in the turkey world.
Sex and violence.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So we heard this gobbler kind of in front of us, mm-hmm. and then we heard another one to the left, and that one had a hen. We could hear the hen clucking. And I mean, you know, you're sitting there and nothing in the woods but, you know, you hear the train in the distance, but nothing in the woods but songbirds and crows, and you can hear these birds really well. And despite what Robin says about my hearing, Bobby was impressed that I could hear the birds and could tell that there were two different birds. Mm-hmm. So right about 7 o'clock, we were calling back and forth to these gobblers, and they would gobble every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so. I mean, it wasn't a frequent, you know, conversation, but the one to our left gobbled twice, and I said, you know, first time he was further, second time he was closer. I said, Bobby, he's coming. And we were watching kind of in that direction, and here comes a turkey, not from where we thought it was going to come, but like between the two gobblers. And,
okay.
And he walked down over the hill very cautiously, and he was clucking the whole time. And when he popped out, I saw him first. Bobby hadn't seen him just quite right away, and I knew it was a jake. I knew it was just a young gobbler because I could see about a 4-inch beard on the turkey breast. Bobby didn't see the gobbler, the beard, because it's dark and the turkey was facing us. So when it got to the point where Bobby could see the beard, he said, kill that bird. And I said, give me a second. And when, you know, I had a clear shot rather than a face-on shot, I shot the bird and we got him. So that was my very first turkey gobbler, Jake. But you know what? I'm very happy, very happy. It was a good day of celebration, good day of fellowship. So, and the hunt was just spectacular. The fellowship was good. The action was good. The hunt was good. The kill was...
Everything about it was spectacular.
Yeah, but the kill was just icing on the cake, you know, because
exactly.
It was just a good time. If we would have never seen a bird, or, you know, it would have been fine, too. So,
yep.
Hey, let's talk to Joe in Westminster about rockfish. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in. Sorry I had to wait so long to hear my turkey story.
It sounded good, like right. Most of your story. Alan, a reason I'm calling is you were asking for comments about conservation of the striped bass.
And yes.
I'm not a professional angler, but I did have a comment in regards to listening to your shows frequently, which to me I really have an interest in. They're really exciting, and I love listening to you.
Right.
And you have made some comments concerning this subject, I guess, about a year ago.
Okay, what did I say?
Well, first let me preface it by saying this. I think you just said that the law was changed from 20 inches to 19 inches.
The adoption of a decreased minimum, well, let's see, in 2018, Governor Hogan and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources raised concerns about this problem with Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. This resulted in the adoption of a decreased minimum size from 20 to 19 inches. In addition, Maryland took unilateral action to require the use of circle hooks when chumming and live lining. And yeah, I did probably talk about that last.
Well, I think it could have been kept at 20 for conservation. And the reason, if they would have followed your advice that I was about to say that you gave approximately a year ago, I don't remember the exact details of what you were
right.
saying to the fishermen, but it was something along the lines of the proper way to remove the hook.
Yeah.
And also to handle the fish as little and as fast as possible before it's returned to the water,
right,
which would keep it from dying.
Yep.
And that was my comment, Alan. Like I said, you know, I'm not a professional angler, but
right,
that was something to add to what you were talking about.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, they, let me tell you, Joe, they don't listen to my advice. So, you know, I'm just a guy with an opinion on the radio.
No, you're a lot more than that. You give extremely good insight and advice. You know,
yeah.
How to become a good hunter and a good fisherman.
Well, here's the deal. If you know you're going to be catching schooling fish, okay, and you've got to catch one over 19 inches, and you know there's smaller fish going to be biting, then do your best to follow the regulations, okay? Use a circle hook. Use a little bigger hook than you would normally use because you're still going to catch a fish. You're just not going to catch as many small fish. Number two, file the barb off or press it down. Number three, sharpen your hook, okay, so you get a very quick hook set. And then if you can, get a pair of long needle nose pliers, and if the fish appears to be undersized and you don't have to measure every one, if you have a pretty good eye, you can pretty much figure which ones you're going to be able to keep.
Sure.
Reach down over the side of the boat with fish still on the line, grab the hook, and flip the fish off. There's plenty of hook de-hookers out there that you can slide down the line and flip the fish off the hook. Even with a barb on it. But if you're chumming or live lining, you know, you can always press that barb down. And I think that's as big of a conservation measure as, you know, oh man, because it takes time to back that hook out when you're fighting a barb.
Right. That's a lot of damage to that.
You know, the fish is fighting the barb to get off, but,
sure,
but basically if you keep a tight line, the fish isn't fighting that barb. The barb's already through. Okay, that just keeps the hook from backing out. If you are a poor angler and, you know, give slack line to that fish, it's going to shake its head and get off anyway. So what you do, it's just going to tear its way off. What you do is you make sure you know how to play a fish and you keep your line tight at all times. You can bring that fish to the boat. It's not done anything. It's not even touched the barb. It's just fought the bend of the hook. Okay, and when you bring it up to the boat, if it's an undersized fish, okay, well, put some slack in the line, let it shake its head and get off in the water, or reach down with a pair of long needle nose pliers and grab the hook and just flip it and turn it and let the fish go in the water. You haven't even touched it with your hands.
Yeah, Alan, like I said, I'm not a pro, but that makes perfect sense to me. You know, because that way you're not damaging or destroying the fish's mouth, which gives it a much better chance of survival.
Right. Yep, so, exactly.
Okay, Alan.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. I hope you spawn some other opinions out here. Take care.
Bye.
See you, buddy. And there goes Joe. Well, we mentioned our highlight for the day, and we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. If you want some advice on catching rockfish, why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop? They've been selling rockfish tackle for as long as they've been in business. No question. They've got it all. The pen reel specials, the trolling combos, if you want to use that. They've got some great deals on rods and reels. As a matter of fact, I was looking for a fishing rod. I broke the tip off of a fishing rod, a graphite rod, and I did not know that I had done it. Well, my smallmouth trip's coming up next week, so I wanted to replace that fishing rod. Stopped by Clyde's and said, "What do you got?" And I said, "I'm not looking to spend a tremendous amount of money." And they said, "Well, do you know that Berkeley brought out a new lightning rod?" And I said, "Absolutely, I did not." "Well, here it is." "Well, what a great deal. What a great deal." So I purchased a Berkeley lightning rod. But, you know, Shakespeare, Pfluger, St. Croix, that's, you know, if you wanted to find a rod to use every day, and if you fished a lot, and I don't, the St. Croix would be the way to go. And, Chris, you were there the other day, weren't you? Clyde Sports Show.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, good.
I was buying some things for a newly acquired pellet rifle, and I wanted to find a sling because some of the box stores just didn't have them.
Right.
Walked in there, found it, and then I needed some swivels.
Yeah.
And this gentleman helped me out, and come to find out, it was Clyde himself.
Mr. Clyde.
And tremendous help.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous help. Everybody was extremely nice to me.
In fact,
and then I needed some mono for another project, and they said, how much do you need? And I said, well, maybe about a yard. Cut it off and just gave it to me.
Yeah.
They're that nice.
They're good people.
Yes.
2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne. Everything for fishing, including live and frozen bait. 410-242-6108, Clyde Sports Shop. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Today is May 4th, and I think I mentioned this last week. It is World Naked Gardening Day. John B. just emailed me and said he's not even bothered going to get dressed today, going to do some things in the yard. Just no hedge clippers. And I'm happy for that. So, look, if you like gardening, naked or clothed, or you just like having pretty flowers around, Schillinger's, Papa John's Farm in Severn, that's the place to go. They're just off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with gorgeous, beautiful plants and flowers. It smells so good and fresh down there. Annuals by the pack or flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, pansies, impatiens, colorful petunias of all stripes, and they even carry the proven winter specialty plants, that brand. Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon, cantaloupe, hot peppers, a lot of varieties, and even herbs, if you like. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12. The address for you GPSers is 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses and make your selections, or you can give them a call ahead of time, 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. Hey, Mother's Day, May 12th, next Sunday. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Please visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Talk Radio 680
WCBM. Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle lolly, golly, what a day. Never ever thinking there was danger in the water they were drinking, they just guzzled it down. Never dreaming that a scheming sheriff and his posse was watching them and gathering around. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, jumping fences, dodging trees and trying to get away. contemplating nothing but escaping, finally making it. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day.
Golly, what a day. Roger Miller. Good man. Just heard from Camo Preacher. Monday night, we did go to the Eastern Assembly of God over in Dundalk and had a good time, fellowship with some folks that we knew and folks that we didn't know. So Camo Preacher was there. They had quite a preparation for that event. They did. They had a little vandalism the night before, Sunday night. Somebody got in the church. Yeah, sprayed fire extinguishers all over the basement and trashed the kitchen. And, one evening before their event.
Yeah, that's real nice.
Yeah, they caught him.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
They caught
good.
Him. Yeah. So it was very interesting. So, but, we all had a good time, ate some of Fred Reinthaler's barbecued beaver. That was good. Had some elk stew, elk cubes, elk, you know, that was good. We just had a good time, fellowship with everybody there. It was a full week, you know. Monday night we did that. Tuesday I left, went to Washington County, and Wednesday did the hunt. Thursday and Friday had to work. We got a new issue coming out next week for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. So good issue too. So anyway, Russ, thanks for the invitation, and we're glad to share that event with you. So, all right, 410, WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Excuse me. Goodness gracious. Couldn't help that. So we're talking about rockfish. We're talking about striped bass and Maryland's effort to lead combat rockfish mortality. They're blaming recreational anglers, in effect, for killing more striped bass. Now, are they blaming recreational anglers for killing striped bass, or are they blaming the regulations for killing striped bass? It's hard to tell from this press release. So here's what it is. Let me read this again in your comments, please. In 2015, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission increased the minimum size for keeper fish. Okay? Bigger fish, let the little ones go, so forth. A well-meaning attempt to protect striped bass population that instead was counterproductive, leading to increased mortality. Every fish that is hooked, removed from the water, and handled is at risk of dying when placed back in the water. Following the size change, the number of dead discards, fish that have, we call them floaters when you're out there, have actually increased as anglers catch and release fish to find keepers, thus increasing the number of fish that were handled. Okay? So what it means is you get into a year class of fish that are under the minimum. Whoever's calling, Chris will be right back. Just keep on the line and he'll pick it up here real quick. Both of you. So what happened was they said, okay, well, all these undersized fish are being killed. Now, here's my question. Commercial anglers have a catch, rod and reel catch season for striped bass. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm simply asking this question. Is the recreational angler primarily to blame for this? Whoever called and hung up, call back. Chris is back in the saddle right now. He had to step out for a second. So, is the recreational angler getting unfairly blamed for all these dead fish? We haven't heard, there's not a word in this press release about commercial anglers. Why is that? Why is that? Is our department unaware that there's a rod and reel rockfish season for commercial anglers? Or are commercial anglers, just far better at catching bigger fish? Well, here's somebody that can help us out. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
Good. I'm not tremendously familiar with the catch and release, rod and reel commercial rockfish catching. I don't know. I know they can catch hundreds of pounds of them.
Yep, depending upon the license holder, yes, they have different quotas, correct.
And the question is, Are their size limits different than recreational anglers?
I could be mistaken, so I think their size limit was 18 inches.
18 inches, okay. So is it possible that if a commercial rod and reel rockfish angler gets into a school of rockfish and knows his limit's 18 inches, is it possible that they, as far as commercial anglers are concerned, are adding to the dead discard numbers that we see on the bay, or is it all a recreational angler?
No, it's certainly not all the recreational anglers. When I was working on a charter boat for about 15 years, the captain I worked for would periodically complain with his friends about the fact that the commercial guys would zero in on a population of fish like a big hole, something like that,
right,
and catch hundreds of pounds of fish per day,
right,
which they were legally entitled to do,
right.
But then they would, my captain and other captains would complain that within a short period of time, the fish that were available were no longer available because they were removed.
Yeah, no question. No question about it.
Yep.
No question about it. So what does an 18-inch rockfish weigh? Pound and a half, 2 pounds?
Perhaps that, yes.
Okay, and your commercial number for the day is 500 pounds? Is that reasonable?
That's reasonable, yes.
Okay, so that's 1,000 fish that are removed from the landscape at that point.
And that's just one boat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So why do you think the department is focusing on the recreational angler?
I do not know. I really don't. But talking about mortality,
yes,
people want to assume things are a constant when, in fact, in nature, as you're well aware, things are very, very variable.
That's true.
Like, okay, deep hooking mortality is a fairly constant thing. When I give these talks on release mortality and
yes,
things like that, I try to make people understand that there's two main factors that affect release mortality. One is the physical injury from deep hooking, and the other is the stress from the physical exertion of fighting. And that can vary tremendously depending upon environmental conditions like water to air temperature,
right,
salinity, things like that. So
right,
it's not a constant.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're chumming in August, your fish stands a far better chance of dying if you fight it to exhaustion, lift it out of the water, take a minute to get the hook out of its mouth, and then try to return it to the water, even if it's hooked in the mouth.
Certainly, we saw mortality among shallow hooked fish.
Right.
All season long, except for a very brief period of time, to be very, very low, about 1%. However, in July in particular, when there was a large difference between water to air temperature, we saw mortality of that same group of fish go from 1% to 17%.
Right, right.
So as you said, yeah, keeping fish in the water to release them is, I think, in my opinion, a huge plus.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I mean, if you're going to be chumming, you're going to be seeing so many fish. And why not give the fish a chance, at least, by pushing? I'm a big advocate of pressing the barb down. If I'm catching anything, catch and release, from smallmouth bass to hickory shad to whatever, I'm trying to press that barb down and make sure that when I release that fish, it's in good shape.
You know, certainly, barbless hooks absolutely facilitate release in the water.
Right, but who will go?
What you want to do if you're catching and releasing?
Yeah, and exactly. But who's going to go to that trouble? And that's why I'm just trying to get the message out. You know, take a pair of needle nose pliers or dykes or whatever you want to call them, and squeeze that barb down. It's simple to do,
yeah.
Or file it off. And I think personally, a sharp hook is probably far more effective, even at catch and release, than one right out of the box. I sharpen hooks out of the box all the time.
Yep, I agree totally with that.
You know, so I just don't understand why people don't. You know, a very wise young bass guide in Florida said to me one time, said, you spend all the money to come to Florida, fish with me on the St. John's River for 10-pound largemouth bass. And he said, you spend all that money to get here, you got the best equipment, and then you don't put fresh line on your reel or you don't sharpen your hooks.
The two tiniest things
you can do, the two easiest things you can do, the two least expensive things you can do, you know, are sharpen your hooks, you
and
know,
and
have good line. And I'll tell you something. I was using some pretty good tackle, and you get in that sawgrass down there in some of the, you know, water systems, and you know, I caught an 8.5 pound bass. I caught another 8.5 pound bass. That big broke off. Now we're fishing shiners that are a foot long, so you know it's got to be a big fish to eat that. One got in the reeds, and he said, don't pull that, and it cut the line right off. Bingo. Whatever pound test we were using, and the fish got away. And then I caught one over six. But, you know, I mean, you're catching that class of largemouth bass. Why would you go with something cheap on your line or your hook? I don't get it.
I'm in the same ballpark.
You got a built-in conservation tool in the circle hooks, the non-offset circle hooks. And you can improve them by sharpening them and pushing the barbs down if you are really that conservation-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a question.
Your wording, it is a tool, is totally, I agree with that totally. It's a tool, it's not a magic bullet.
Exactly. So here's another question for you, Rudy. I said pick a hook size a little larger than you would typically use. Striped bass have big mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to use a 1/0 when you can use a 3/0, doesn't that kind of almost disqualify some of those smaller fish?
Yeah, and I've heard from people who are using. We used Mustad hooks, and not to promote any brand, but that's
right. Sure, yeah.
And it was a 9/0 for the entire
9/0.
Yep.
A 9/0.
Yep, it's a pretty big hook, a pretty robust hook.
That is.
And it worked very, very. We still caught small. Most of the fish we caught for our study were sublegals, which
really?
Was fine because that's what we wanted to find out. What is the mortality rate among fish that have to release that are mandatory releases?
Yeah.
And it was very, very low with the circle hooks.
Yeah. Now what?
Big hooks,
what
we still caught them.
Sure. What were you using? What bait were you using to catch those fish?
Most of the time we used chunks of menhaden. We were
chumming. Yeah. Okay. That
we
makes
did
sense.
Use. Clams a couple of times.
You're trying to catch fish. That's the
yep.
point.
So. Yep.
Yeah, and you
and
know,
I had captains tell me, you know, well, we need to leave here. We're not catching only small fish. And I said, well, that's what I'm interested in.
Right.
Because they happen to be released.
Right. Gotcha.
And I think the idea of raising the size was well-intentioned but highly misguided.
So what does that say for these the high muckety-mucks on the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission?
I don't know. There are some people, I'm not going to mention any names, who would like
No. But there are some states that want to catch them all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there are other states that are jealous of Maryland because we have so many striped bass.
Exactly. Yep.
So, you know,
We're the baby killers.
What's that?
We're the baby killers.
The baby killers.
Yes, we're killing baby striped bass, even though a lot of our fish that we catch, most of our, are mature males. That's what we have here.
Right.
That's our resident stock.
Gotcha. Well, you've added another dimension to this, and I really appreciate the call.
Anyway, say hello to Robin. I had the pleasure of having supper with one of her father's former business partners, Dr. Earl.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Yep.
I'm sure she's listening, so wonderful.
Okay.
All right. Hey, stay in touch, Rudy.
I shall do that.
Take care, buddy.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Glenn, Chestertown. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Not too much. Just called to say hi and say how you doing. And, Friday of last week, I got my fishing license. So
You're ready to go. Sure.
And then, getting ready to go turkey hunting there shortly. Should have been already out there, but.
Well, I don't want to hold you up. It's almost legal shooting time. You better get your butt out there.
I think it actually is, but anyway, you know, like you're talking about the fish, right?
Yeah.
Really, choose what fish you catch. It's whatever one comes with you.
Well, sure, I understand that. I understand that. But, you know, yeah. If you're aware of the rules and regulations, you can almost target a little larger fish if you want. But, you know, there's ways to conserve if something that you don't want bites the line. There's ways to save that fish.
Yeah.
Or at least help preserve it and conserve it. Okay?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All right, buddy. We got to go to a break. Thanks for the call, and enjoy that turkey hunt. I hope you get one today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
See you, Glenn. Bye-bye. Bay Country Bakery. Oh, Chris. How many we got left out of the dozen, Chris? I had one. What, you got four left? Wow.
I have to count. Oh, you wish there was four.
Yeah. Ah, Dave was faithful to his promise. So, hey, Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge, they build the most delicious fresh baked donuts and pastries and cookies and breads on the Eastern Shore and Delmarva Peninsula, even the state of Maryland and Delaware and all of Virginia. And breakfast at Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge is served from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday. Now, I travel Route 50 frequently, whether I'm going fishing or going to the beach or working, and my mouth, my belly just can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich and a fresh cup of hot coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery and the donut on the highway sign, too. And even after your morning adventure, if you're in the area from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. Your hosts are Dave and Gina Levy, trained chefs. They bring you the best. They don't strive to bring you the best. They bring you the best. Yes, indeed. Bay Country Bakery, located 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge, on Route 50 East. That's 2951 Coastal Highway. Think about that big donut. Visit their website. They're like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Sure to stop by, say hello. You might even see Robin and me there.
Active weather pulls east and a wet forecast this weekend with rain and potentially severe storms rolling up from the southwest today into tonight. Our temperatures in the upper 70s, near 80 degrees this afternoon with widespread rains, some with heavy downpours and the potential for inches of rain in some of these downpours. More showers tomorrow on Sunday, 66. We clear out Monday, Tuesday, mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bed liners. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. So if you live on the Eastern Shore, where is the first place you're going to go if you're a hunter or an angler? Well, I can tell you, it's Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. That's Chester, Maryland. It is spring gobbler time. We talked about that. They've got the great decoys and calls, the shotguns, the ammo, the camo, the calls, and boots and hips and waders and everything else you need for any type of hunting. Now for rockfish, they've got all the custom bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas. They got the planer boards that they'll build for you, and they'll teach you how to use them. Custom planer boards. That's right. It's Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies, rods, reels, and tackle. For the Chesapeake Bay, for tidal rivers and freshwater fishing, a full selection of live and frozen bait. Yeti coolers, Costa sunglasses, Bubba Blade knives, and their own very attractive t-shirt. You might want to grab one of those as well. Full line of crossbows, Matthews solo cam bows, including the new, what's the new one called? Can't remember. I'll think about it here in a little bit. Raven crossbows, too. 410-604-2500, Chesapeake Outdoors. Stop by and see what they've got. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Rolling, 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 rolling. By my side, all of the things I miss.
All right, get out, stay out, stay safe.